more than one message, no doubt, from this passage. And I like it when I know that you're reading through the Bible. How many of you are following our reading plan? Because you may come across the scripture and then I may preach on it from time to time from our Bible reading. And that's the case tonight. And it is a method to help you that are saved to grow in grace and to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because in this passage that I'm going to teach on tonight, really a teaching message more than a preaching message, is a message that the Lord taught his disciples. And it's interesting, the Bible says in Acts 2:41 that people got saved, they got baptized, they joined the church. We saw that happening today, and that's what happened in the early church. But then it says that they continued, what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And what's doctrine? It's Bible teaching. It's teaching of the doctrine that Jesus gave to the apostles to finish the New Testament. And so it was Bible teaching that they were getting, and the people were getting that. And we need Bible teaching today. By the way, I believe you should be here in Sunday school. And we teach a lot of good teaching in the Bible in Sunday school. And we're teaching all the classes at the same level. Some people just get a little dab here and there. That's not being steadfast. You need to get steadfast. Three to thrive. Get to Sunday school and morning church as well. Both of them. You need both of them. Jose referenced the message this morning. Every time the pastor is the messenger or the angel of the church, every time he stands up behind this sacred desk, there is a message for you. And you need to be here to get it. Sunday evening, likewise, you need to be here for Sunday evening. And Wednesday night, prayer. Prayer is also something they did. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship, that's just working together for the Great Commission, not necessarily eating Dunkin' Donuts. Working together for the Great Commission, fellowship. And then it says, in breaking of bread, that was the Lord's table, in worship, and then in prayers. And as I said this morning, the churches are in the upper room, in the supper room, organizing. Nothing wrong with that, but they're not in the upper room agonizing. They're not fasting and praying. And so we need that. And so this message tonight is a message about teaching that our Lord taught, so it will build you up so that you will know and be strong in the knowledge of the Lord. I think of my wife when she got saved. She was 19 years of age. Two guys, good looking guys, going to the college that she was going to. They were born again Christians in an independent fundamental Baptist church. Their dad was a deacon, and these guys were about her age, 19, 20 years old. Great guys, Cam and Andy Coons, those two guys. Great guys. And I met them, and I remember that my wife said when she got saved through their witness to her, she went to that church and got baptized and joined that church, that independent fundamental Baptist church, and she was on fire. My wife was just getting teaching. She was there for every service, but that wasn't enough. She was over at the Coons all the time getting more, and that wasn't enough. She went to a Bible study about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and she wanted to hear more about Jesus coming back, and she was a young person excited about the Lord. We need more of that today. We need more of that today, and for the Bible to come alive to people. And so I'm thinking about where Jesus taught in Luke 17, and that's where we're going. But before we get into that, I noticed that Dr. Luke wrote in the book of Acts as well, in Acts 1, 1 and 2, and here's what he wrote. He said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So Jesus began to do things and teach things. By the way, do comes before teaching, amen? Before you teach it, you need to practice it. And Jesus taught these things, but he did these things, and then he revealed them to the disciples, and even after he was taken up into heaven, he revealed by the Holy Spirit the rest of the Bible teaching for the Bible to his disciples. By the way, we don't have any more scripture being given.
That's right.
The canon is closed in the book of Revelation. We got everything we need. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, beloved. We've got everything we need in here, and we just need to preach it and teach it. And these churches that are after the signs of the apostles, these churches that are after other Bibles and other teaching, they're not going to build lives on solid foundations. And I want to be able to do that. And you know what? I preach messages where I have to confront problems in the church. And I'll preach a message from the Bible where I'll confront a problem in the church. And you may be reproved by that. And you have the opportunity to repent and get corrected and then to be trained. But now, tonight, and what I do is just teach a message not to so much rebuke you, not to so much correct you, but to just train you by Bible doctrine. So you know the words of Christ and you can be built up on the words of Christ. And Paul also wrote Timothy about this. He said, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to what? Wholesome words. Well, what words? Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine, that's Bible teaching, which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing. And I hear people, they have, oh, I had a vision, I had a dream, let me tell you about that. No, I want to hear about John the Apostle's dream. I want to hear about Jesus' dream. I want to hear about Joseph's dream. I want to hear about the scriptural revelation, the words that teach Bible doctrine. And when you build your life on that, you become a strong believer and you can help others. And so the revelation of the rest of the Bible, the New Testament, was given first by Christ in person and then by the apostles. Now, when I say in person, I'm talking about Saul of Tarsus. By the way, I believe Saul of Tarsus, a young convert, wrote the book of Hebrews. He wasn't writing when he was Paul, he was writing when he was Saul. Now, he added some things to it when he was on his missionary journeys, and he used this early writing, which is one of the earliest writings, and Paul's very earliest writing when he was still Saul. And here's what he said about Jesus. He said, God, who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now this is talking, one of the men tell me, what's he talking about there? When he says, God, who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets. What is Saul of Tarsus speaking of? What speaking and what? What ministry?
The Old Testament of Moses, the prophets, and the psalmists.
That's exactly right. He has that down. The Old Testament consisting of the Pentateuch of Moses, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so forth, and the Psalms and the poetry books like Proverbs and Song of Solomon and those Ecclesiastes. So, yeah, he's speaking of the Old Testament. But he says now, in these last days, the Son, God in the flesh, came down and gave the very words of God to complete the Bible. A Bible's not complete without the New Testament. Amen. In the Old Testament, you have Jesus concealed. In the New Testament, you have him revealed. And so that is what we teach. And we're teaching Bible doctrine and the very words of Christ. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And we're going to look at the words words of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, when I teach on things like the second coming, and that'll be a big part of tonight, I take the words of Christ in Matthew 24, in Luke chapter 17. I take the words of Christ in John 14 and in Mark. I take the words of Christ and then add to it Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians and in Romans Romans 11 and 1 Corinthians 15 and so on and so forth, because they go together. You see that? And so that's what we need to understand. And tonight the message is entitled, Christ Teaches You Concerning His Two Comings and His Kingdom. His Two Comings and His Kingdom. And I just have 2 points, but it'll take more than one message probably to finish those 2 points on Luke chapter 17. But let me say, when you think about Christ's teaching on His two comings and His kingdom, I'd like to say, number one, He, the Lord, teaches you to understand His misunderstood kingdom. And I'd like you to look at this in Luke 17 and 20 and 21. I'll read it, you follow. He says in Luke chapter 17, 20 and 21, he says, "And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" This is a very misunderstood scripture. And tonight I would like to clear up the teaching of the Lord to understand His misunderstood teaching of the kingdom. Let me say tonight, I got to get this off here. Let me say tonight that the kingdom of God is the same as the kingdom of heaven, is the same as the mediatorial kingdom, is the same as the millennial kingdom. There is a teaching concerning the kingdom. And that is a very important teaching, and it is the theme of the Bible. And what is the kingdom? It's God's kingdom on earth, mediated through a man. And God plans to bring this earth back to the Garden of Eden, and He replaced Adam by a second Adam, and that man was going to rule over the kingdom. And I told my Sunday school class, I was up in Tunkhannock, I was talking to a girl named Kayla and a young lady named Emily. And they were workers at Walmart up there. And they were getting ready, just about to go into work. And I asked them the 2 spiritual questions. And one of the girls spoke up and she said, "You know, I've been done wrong. I've been done wrong in my life. And I just don't really have a trouble believing in God," and so forth. The other sister said to me, she said, "Why is it that it has to be a man to save us?" And I told him something that was interesting. I said, "Well, when you think of it, a man messed us up." I said, "It was a man by the name of Adam that when he sinned, he brought curse upon this world. He brought all the problems that you had came out of that in your life. And they had a lot of hurts in their life." And I said, "I'm very sorry for you that you've gone through those hurts. But I said, it had to be a man, because a man was the one that messed us up. His name was Adam. And he brought this upon us and this pain. And so this man called Jesus is God in the flesh, and he straightened it up." And the one sister said, "When I said it was a man that messed us up, and so a man had," she said, "That's good, that's good. I amen to that." You know, she liked that, you know. And so it opened their heart, you know, to receive what I was saying. But the kingdom of God is God's kingdom on earth through a man. And it's called the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15. And the whole Bible is talking about that. The kingdom was lost in Genesis when Adam sinned and God had to curse this world. He promised a person that would be born of a woman that would bring the kingdom back to this earth. And it's all about the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied. In the times of the Gospels, when Jesus came, the kingdom was presented to the nation of Israel. And God said, "Here's the kingdom. It's here for you." In the Gospels, that was happening. And then when Israel rejected it, in the book of Acts again, then in the epistles, the kingdom is delayed or postponed. And in the meantime, he's gathering out a bride that will be part of the ruling aristocracy to rule with him over the coming kingdom. And in Revelation, the kingdom actually comes, and everybody sees it. And it comes because everybody will see when Christ comes back. And so you need to understand that the theme of the Bible is this kingdom of God that's coming to earth, this mediatorial kingdom. But it is very understood, and a lot of people misunderstand what Christ is teaching here. And here's the common misunderstanding, and maybe you've heard of it. Jesus said here, they say, you know, that the kingdom of God is within you. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And here's what they say, and maybe you've heard it. And even good men, listen to me, even good men mess this up. I'm so glad I had some great Bible teachers that helped me with the kingdom of God. One of them was Dr. John Benson, amen? And Alva McLean wrote a good book on this, and George H.N. Peters and so forth. Alva McLean was a help to me as well. But listen to me. Jesus' teaching here is misunderstood. The kingdom of God. And people say, well, you know, Jesus came and he presented to the Jewish people the kingdom, and he presented himself as the king, but they crucified him. They rejected him. And so Jesus no longer is setting up his kingdom. Now what he is doing is he's building a kingdom inside of your heart. He's building it inside of the hearts of believers. And instead of there being a literal kingdom, a literal thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, no, he's reigning now in your heart. And instead of Satan being literally bound and put at the center of the earth like we teach, no, Satan is bound whenever you serve the Lord and give the gospel, you're binding him up. And so it's dominion theology, it's also amillennial theology, it's kingdom now theology, and they've spiritualized, listen to me, the literal kingdom of God. He never did that, and he's not teaching that here. People are ignorant of Bible teaching when they think, it seems like he's teaching that here. Because they take a couple of verses, and whenever you take a couple of verses and pull it out of the Bible, that's why you need to read your whole Bible. Amen. That's why you need to be here Sunday morning and Sunday evening and in Sunday school. That's why you need all the Bible teaching you can get from somebody that knows this book right here and teaches from the Bible. And so let me say to you tonight that in Christ's teaching here on the kingdom, that he teaches you to understand his misunderstood doctrine of the kingdom. You say, well, what about it? There is no future for Israel. There's no, and a lot of people say this, and it makes me sad for them. They don't understand this. They say, oh, the Jews going back to the promised land, that is not in the Bible. That's just Zionism. That's just a movement of man. Let me tell you, that's a movement of God. I mean, the devil gets in there, and the devil is going to get in there. We know that, and a lot of Israel is going to worship the beast, and they're part of globalism, and they get into globalism that I preach against, just like America has done. But it doesn't mean that God has not brought Israel back to the land in unbelief. Ezekiel 37 talks about that, and many other scriptures. He's gathering them back in unbelief and preparing them for Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation, and then the second coming of Jesus, and the literal fulfillment of all of the promises of God. And it's about time that Christians understand that, you see. And you talk about praying for the peace of Jerusalem. The peace of Jerusalem is not going to come until Israel accepts their Messiah. When you witness and somebody accepts the Lord, heaven comes down and glory fills their soul. But when the whole Israelite nation in one day accept Jesus as their Messiah, then the kingdom of God will be coming to earth. And he will sit on Mount Zion. And he will reign. And that is Zionism, amen. God is fixing to set up his throne on Mount Zion, amen. And so this is a misunderstood teaching, and we need to understand it. Now, let me say this. When Christ says here, the kingdom of God is within you, he is not saying that God changed now since you rejected the kingdom and he set up some spiritual kingdom in your heart. No, he's not saying that. And many people teach that, but that's not what he's saying. The king. Let me just refute that on this level. One of the men tell me, who was he talking to at this point in Luke 17? Read verse 20, Luke 17, verse 20. Read that right now in your Bible. And one of the men tell me, who was the Lord talking to when he said the kingdom of God is within you?
Himself?
No, he was talking to people. Who is he talking to? Read the Bible. Look at verse 20. You should know it from verse 20. Read it. You got your Bible?
The Jewish Pharisee.
Amen. He was talking to the Jewish Pharisees. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered, what? Them. And he said to them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. He's talking about the Jewish religious leaders that had rejected him. And he's saying, now the kingdom of God is within you. He didn't mean in their hearts, because he said your hearts are like whited sepulchers. On the outside, your hearts are dirty. They're like dirty graves. They're filthy. They're evil. You're clean on the outside. You're dirty on the inside. He wasn't reigning in their hearts, beloved. The kingdom of God within you doesn't mean the spiritual reign of Jesus in the hearts of these people. Understand, he was talking to the Jewish leaders, and therefore that is not what this teaching says. Now, well then, what is he saying? When he says the kingdom of God is within you, he means within the nation of Israel at that time. He means in your midst. Well, who was in their midst? John the Baptist had presented the kingdom, and they killed him. Jesus, the king, had presented the kingdom. And instead of accepting the kingdom of God in their midst through the Messiah, they were rejecting it. And so when he said, listen to me, the kingdom of God cometh not with by observation, he didn't mean that you can't see the kingdom when it comes. That would be totally against the Bible. Remember Peter, James, and John? He took them on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he said, you, before you die, are going to see the kingdom. And they got a preview of the kingdom, amen? Right there on the Mount of Transfiguration. The book of Revelation. When Jesus comes back, everybody will see the kingdom. Everybody will see the king. It will be with observation. So he wasn't talking about that the kingdom will not come in a way that people can see it. But what he was doing, he was talking to them, and he's saying, you're not going to see it because you rejected me as the Messiah. You're not going to see it. You think you're going to rule in the kingdom. You think you're going to be the big shots in the kingdom. You think because you're a Jew that you're going to be, but you're not born again. You're going to split hell wide open, he told them, and you're not going to see the kingdom coming. And he was right. They didn't. What did they see? They saw the Roman armies coming down in AD 70. They saw their women raped. They saw their city of Jerusalem broken and burned. They saw the temple destroyed. That's what they saw. Remember, he predicted that. One stone won't be on another. I went there to Israel 2016. We saw the great ruins of the Roman stones. I actually got one of those stones and brought it back with me, and I have it. From the ruins that happened in AD 70. That's what he said was going to happen. Why? Because they rejected the Messiah. By the way, if we reject the Word of God, there will be consequences in our lives. And so the kingdom of God in your midst, that's what he is talking about. And he is telling them these things, these teachings, because they had rejected the king. So I'm saying to you that in the church of Jesus Christ, there is a building ministry and a breaking ministry. And I say sometimes I have to preach messages where I'm knocking down wrong attitudes in your heart, where the Holy Spirit is using me and the message to knock down wrong ideas that you have so that you can get right with God, so that you can do what God wants you to do. But when you're walking with God, you need teaching like this. You need to know the teaching of the Word of God so that you can understand God's plan for the world and you can fit in with that plan. And so tonight, that's what I want to do. I want you not to be a child in understanding, but to be mature and to be built up in Christ so that you can grow and become a strong believer and have your life built on a strong foundation. So Christ teaches you concerning the kingdom, and he teaches you to understand his misunderstood kingdom teaching. How many remember reading this scripture sometime in your reading? You've read it. And I hope now that you understand it better on that point. But there's a second thing I want to look at, and that is he teaches you to understand his misunderstood two comings. Christ talks about his two comings. And I want to just talk about part of the teaching on his second coming. So go now to 17 of Luke, verse 22, and I'll read that. It says, "And he," Jesus Christ, "said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it." Now, do you see what happened right here? One of the men tell me what happened. As far as verse 21 to 22, what happened concerning his audience? I'm going to start with Matt. I got him right here. He's been doing good so far.
He shifted from talking to the Jewish Pharisees to his Jewish disciples.
Right on. He shifted. And he now is no longer talking to his enemies. He's talking to his disciples. And he is giving his disciples some teaching. And you know what? Tonight, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you need this teaching. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you need teaching from the Word of God about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he's going to get into the need for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, you might ask the question, why do we need a second coming of Jesus Christ? He came the first time. He gave the kingdom message. He did what he did in his first coming and fulfilled all the scripture. Why do we need a second coming? Does anybody know? All right, Brother Matthew, got to give it to him again. He's getting it all right here tonight. Let's give it.
He has to put down every single one of Christ's enemies?
Yes. Yes. His kingdom was rejected. And so he has to delay the kingdom because the Jewish nation rejected it. And he has to judge Jewish nation of that day. There will be a future Jewish nation that will get saved. Amen. But the Jewish nation that day, he has to judge. And now he has to give the world, that is the non-Jewish world, the world, the opportunity to get saved. And that's what we're doing now. We're going out to the world to give them the opportunity to get saved. And if people from the world get saved, they are being trained, and you are being trained, beloved. If you're a born-again Christian, you're being trained to reign with Christ in this future kingdom. And the Bible talks about it. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about it. That's one of the epistles of Paul to a very carnal church. And he said, look, you guys are carnal. You should be spiritual. You're being trained to rule with Christ. You're being trained to be a judge in the kingdom. And you can't even handle problems in your own life. You can't handle problems in your church and do it the Bible way. And don't you know you're being trained? I got to loosen my collar. Don't you know that you're being trained to reign over the world to come? It's not angels that are going to run the world to come. It's not the globalists, the rich people, the billionaires that are taxing us. You know why the globalists have people being taxed? We're not being taxed to pay for our country, to run our country. They run our country by printing money out of thin air. They run it by treasury bills and then charge interest to the American people on it. They have the control of the money system through the central banks. They're not taxing you to get money for the government. They don't need that. That's why the rich, rich billionaires, they rule out the tax code. They don't even pay taxes. Not much at all. Because the taxation is not to pay for the government. You say, well, what's the taxation for? To make you to be under them so that they can rule you. And a real leader would do what Thomas Jefferson said and get rid of the central bank, get rid of the Federal Reserve, and put us under our own money and stop the nonsense that's going on. But that's what's going on in this wicked world in which we live. And the Lord said, "You need to know that I'm going to have to come back again and straighten this mess out, and I am going to set up my kingdom. And as Matt said, judge my enemies, and then save the world, the non-Jewish world, and build my church, which is the bride of Christ, the queen that will reign with Christ." In his kingdom. And literally, do you understand that that means that you who are believers, if you're faithful in your ministry, you're faithful in the bus ministry, you're faithful in the soul winning ministry, you're faithful in the work God has given you to do, that at a judgment seat of Christ, he will not determine whether you're saved or not. That's determined the moment you trust Christ. But he'll determine, listen to me, your rewards as far as responsibility in this coming kingdom. And what will that involve? That will involve the area on earth that you will rule over. You will live in the New Jerusalem, which is suspended over Mount Zion, but your day job will be on earth, and you will have jobs to do for God. And except you won't get tired, except you won't sin, except you'll never fail God. You say, wow, is this true? This is Bible truth. It's Bible teaching. It's called Kileism, which is talking about the mediatorial kingdom, and that is coming. And so the Lord is teaching about that. So we are doing a building ministry to help you to get a full reward in the kingdom that is coming. And so he teaches you about the misunderstood kingdom of God on earth. And then he teaches you to understand his misunderstood two comings. And so, as Matthew just said, let's go back to verse 22. And there in verse 22, he said unto his disciples, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it." You know what? We're in those days right now. We're in those days right now. Because Christ left. Remember John the Baptist? His disciples fasted and they prayed. And the disciples came to him and they said, "Why do John's disciples fast and you guys are always eating? You guys are always having a good time." And he said, "Because I'm with them. I'm the bridegroom. We're celebrating right now. I'm here. But there's coming a day when I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be gone." And you know what? That's the day we're living in right now. We're living in the day when we're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. We're looking for Jesus to come. Do you desire his coming? Do you love his appearing? You see, that is a test whether you're a true disciple. Because the more you live for God, the more you are like a fish out of water in this world. And this world has nothing for us. And we can use it, but not abuse it. We use it to win people to Christ. But a lot of people are like Cain. You know what Cain did? He built a city, and he named it after his son. And he taught his son that you can enjoy this world. Don't worry about the kingdom to come. Don't worry about the Messiah to come. And he built a whole city with manufacturing, with all kinds of amusements, with all kinds of music and culture and fun and theater and everything. They even had worship in the city, the city called Cain, but it was all built, listen to me, to distract people from getting saved and worshiping the Lord and looking for the kingdom to come. And so the other king named his city Enoch. I don't know if I said that, Enoch. Maybe I said it wrong, but the son of Cain was named Enoch, and he named the city. But the other Enoch that we learned about in Sunday school, that Enoch didn't build the city with all kinds of distractions, but he walked with God, and he was caught up. Are you going to walk with God this week? Or are you going to be distracted from God with your video games or your music or your friends or your social media or whatever it is that you put in the place of putting God first in your life? Oh no, you need to desire the Lord to come back. You need to desire the Lord and being close to the Lord. So even if he doesn't come back, you will be working for him. And you know what the Bible says about Jacob? He worked for Rachel. And he loved Rachel so much that he worked for her for 7 years for that crook Laban, her dad. Worked for 7 years. And you know what? It seemed to him but a day. You'll desire the Lord to come back, but if he's real in your heart, so real you can reach up and touch him, so real that when two or three are gathered together, you know the Lord is here in this church, and you want to be here in church. I used to go to pastor school when Jack Hiles was there, and I'll tell you, it was more than Jack Hiles, beloved. It was God. He was there. Amen, Brother Joe. He was there. The Holy Spirit was there. Jesus was being lifted up. And people, they came to try to get front row seats. They wanted to get as close to what was going on up front as they could. When you're in love with the Lord, this is the first thing you want to get into. You want to get into the Word of God. You want all that you can get of it. And may God help us to get a hold of that and to desire. So we're going to look at this again Wednesday night. Christ teaches you concerning his two comings and his kingdom. And I hope you're cleared up on the kingdom teaching. And we want to look more at the second coming teaching and how it relates to the first coming. But I think we've got enough for tonight. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm glad you're here tonight.